February 28, 1993. This is Robert Robb speaking at the Barnyard Community Room. All right, so the topic today, at least at the beginning, is going to be about ending separation. And so, as I referred to in the Aura Color book, we all have individual identities, third dimensionally, but we also seem to be becoming more and more aware that we're part of a greater whole. And so there's a lot of confusion going on as to who we are as individuals versus who we are as multidimensional beings, or who we are as God, or who we are as breaths of air. And there's a lot of different layers of things going on here. And so where your attention goes, your energy flows. And I know you guys, if you were here last time, heard me say it, and I'll probably repeat it every single time, because everything you think, do, and say creates who you are here. And where you put your focus and where you put your attention is where you'll locate yourself in time and space, at least in this dimension. So who you think you are and what you think you're here to do is partially a product of your third dimensional experiences to date, what kind of family you've grown up in, what your history was, where you went to school, what the weather was like. But also you came on the planet even prior to that with a certain treasure map. And in that treasure map, some of you decided that you would have certain personal power issues. So you might have, as your first reminder of those personal power issues, a struggle inside your mother's womb, or different environmental agents she might put into her body or breathe. And we're finding out more and more that kids are really responding in vitro. If we pretty much had a pretty good guess about that, but the scientists finally needed to nail it down. So in their ultrasound test, they found if you put a mother in an antagonistic position, the child takes a defensive posture and releases certain chemicals on their own. And so we do have our own life before we come out and get smacked in the butt and manipulated in whatever fashion many of us seem to complain about. So when we came on the planet, we decided we might have 80% personal power issue. So in vitro, in that womb, we're having 80% personal power issues. We come out and we have this doctor who smacks us in this cold room with these bright lights. And we have a parent who may or may not be able to do intimacy with us, but we seem to have these uncomfortable experiences. And then in school, we seem to have personal power struggles. And then in our partnerships and in our standing in line at the bank or trying to be the next one through that yellow light before it turns red. However all those struggles show, they seem to repeat over and over and over again. And it's not our fault as parents. It's not our parents' fault. It's not the school teacher who may have wrapped you in the knuckles with the ruler's fault. It doesn't even have anything to do with your mom smoking cigarettes and you taking a defensive posture in the womb. That was all predetermined by you before you came here, and they've been mirrors from day one to remind you that you have that issue so you can address it. Everything that you see outside of you is a mirror that you created. And it gives you feedback 24 hours a day as to what it is you believe about yourself and what you believe your experiences will be. So what's happening as a bottom line is when we believe we're separate from each other, I'm just pleased. So that was a little sweat break since it's going to break on the tape. So most of us believe that we're separate from each other, or we're separate from each individual in this room, or we're separate from those stories. And when I look at the world, everything is this, all these energies are coming off of everybody and off the carpet, and the carpet talks to me, and that heater and the ceiling, and each one of you is a part of me, and this room looks like this big bundt cake of energy, and it's so hard for me to imagine that everybody thinks they're separate. When we're so connected, how many of you, when somebody stands in line behind you at the bank or something, go, get away from me. Too much energy up close. You know, we're feeling the energy. We are interconnected. And I know at least two-thirds of this room, when they think of a long-lost friend, the phone rings within 3 days. How did that happen? You just, where your attention goes, your energy flows. Everybody has a big toe on their left foot, at least I imagine, in this room. Can you all feel it? It was there the whole time, and unless you just inadvertently or accidentally addressed it before I had you put your attention on there, it was there, but you weren't getting the full flavor of it because you weren't putting your attention on it. And that's how, when we believe in separation, and when we pull our energy in and we isolate from each other, from these other interconnected parts of us out there, then it's like taking our attention away from the bintō. Excuse me, I'm also a traffic cop too. So if you were to put your attention on each other without all of your issues coming up that we have in our little treasure maps, then we'll be able to see that we're not separate, we are interconnected, and that this bundt cake is really true, and that we often have individual identity, but we're all part of a bigger body. I could liken it to we're all like red blood cells within an organism, and each one of us is a 7-micron or a 6 or 7-micron red blood cell, but without us, the body doesn't exist. Yet we have an individual identity, but a group purpose. If we need to have a purpose, I don't believe in having a purpose, but we'll pretend that the necessary purpose is there, so for the sake of the body existing. So what we're going to practice here today, for starters, before I really begin, haven't begun yet, huh? is to just take a moment, and I'd like for everybody to take a couple of breaths and pay attention to the fact that most of you, even some of you I've talked to about this before, I'm very disappointed in you. Pay attention to your breathing. Very important for you to breathe. Okay, so everybody, when the dust settles here, we're going to do a little paying attention exercise. Now, for those of you with boundary issues, do not do anything that's uncomfortable. I'm not going to ask you to do anything uncomfortable, but I want you to know, never do anything Rob says, if it isn't what you want to do. And all we're going to do today is just pay attention a little bit more, so when I start talking to you, maybe you'll get a lot of the information I have telepathically. And then I can give you a lot more data if you'll hook up with me than what my mouth can say linearly in this progression. In fact, most of you have done readings with me or hung out with me know that by the time you leave, what you've come away with is a lot more than I said. If you'll just hook up with me, we can just give you tons of stuff. But you have to stop believing in the fact that we're separate and recognize that I'm just part of you, reacquainting yourself to get conscious and to pay attention. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. Do we need more chairs? Oh, thank you. Oh, it wasn't taping. You guys will have to memorize this. So does that make sense? If you're going to react out there, oh, I'm not educated enough, I need to get more educated, you have missed the point that it's simply a value issue or a power issue or a safety issue, and we need to fix that or be aware of it inside so we quit trying to project it outside. And we're also conditioned to project outside. In fact, if we try to project inside, we start becoming self-centered. Awful word, self-centered, isn't it? If we get to our center, it's totally okay, but if we're selfish or self-centered, heaven help us. It's the same thing. So I really prefer to be selfish and self-centered. I won't hide from that. That's a twist in words to soften it. An analogy before we begin. If I said this one last month, bear with me. I don't think I did. When I was doing some of my clinical field work at UCLA many years ago, one of my schizophrenic clients came into the office, and I'd worked with him a few times. He's probably my best teacher. I learned a lot. I should have paid him, in fact. He came in and put a glass of water right in front of me on the desk, filled to the middle, and he said, "Okay, Doc, what do you see?" I said, "You son of a bitch. We do this every week. I'm going to say it's half full, and I'm an optimist, and you're going to go, gee, Doc, you know, I'm really a sick man. What I need is a realist, not an optimist. Or I'll say it's half empty, and you say, gee, Doc, I don't need a pessimist. I need an optimist. I'm not a very healthy guy. There's no way I could get through it." He said, "Well, give it a try, Doc." So I said, "Okay, I believe I'm an optimistic person, and I see things as half full or having greater potential." And so he said, "That's very nice, but thanks for playing the game." And I said, "Well, I don't believe it's half empty." He said, "At least you got that one right." He says, "All of you out-sane people," that's most of us in this room, "all of you out-sane people, you're so concerned with content. Is it the right amount? Is it too full? Is it too empty? Is it too purple? Is it too green? Is it poisonous? Is it good for you? Can you live on it? Can you not? Do you like it? Don't you like it? How does it smell? How doesn't it smell?" He says, "God, I'm so exhausted even saying that stuff. It's not important." Us insane people, when we look at things many, many different ways, and one of the ways is that maybe that container's twice as large as it needs to be. I missed the container. It was right in front of my face, and I totally missed it. And for those of you who heard me tell this story, thanks for bearing with me again. It's to make a point. And he went on, and he said, "I'm just a container, and I just let everything flow through me, and I can give a shit about the content, what color I am or whatnot. I might become Napoleon for a while, and as soon as you think you've nailed me down and I've got a Napoleon complex, as soon as I know you've done that, I'll be Josephine. keep you on your toes, give you something to do. And he thinks, you think insane's being bad. You guys pay for a place for me to stay. You feed me. You give me some really cool people to mess with their brains with all the time. He says, life's a great joy for me, teaching all of you. And I don't have to pay for it. The state does. So a lesson in watching out for all the stuff we've been told that we're not supposed to do, like masturbation and your hand turns hairy. 85% of the people, 15% masturbate and 80% lie. So something like that. We're taught not to pay attention to ourselves, not be self-centered. Heaven help us if we become insane instead of outsane, or we become selfish instead of otherish. Most everybody's otherish. Do it for them so that they like us and so we fit in, yet nobody's happy. Nobody's being real. So this meditation, or this moment in time, in space here, is just to pay attention to us, the big toe, to get back more into our container and to feel our container, and not so much the information that's in it, but recognize that we're all interconnected. So again, I want to say, for those of you who are, a lot of people are doing their homework now and extremely sensitive about boundaries. If you have issue about boundaries, pay attention to your breath and hold your space. All I would like you to do is just take a moment to take a couple of deep breaths, and you can do it with eyes open or eyes closed. And I would like for you to imagine that you're all interconnected in this room and that you're all part of one unit. And just take a few moments to do that. See if you can project to across the room, Beverly over to this side and Dodie over to that side, and see if you can feel each other. You're not being asked to take anybody's energy into your body. Feel it on your perimeter, but get connected. I'll help you. We'll amp the room up a little bit so it's easier. Where your attention goes, your energy flows. So just pick a spot and put yourself there. Yeah. Just feel around. And then come to your center and feel you in the middle of all that. Use the breath to become inspired and fulfilled. Pay attention to your breathing. Some of you stopped breathing when you did that. You went out of your body. You can stay in your body and do all this. For all of those of you who want to get better at your psychic parts or develop them, this is one of the biggest keys, is to recognize that you're not separate, that you are interconnected, and where your attention goes, your energy flows. It's not hard. You just have to recognize that you're in charge. So while you're there doing this, we'll do it for another minute. One of the cool things about being a big person is that you get to do it your way. At least that was the promise. The difference between an adult and child, in my definition, actually there really is no such thing as an adult. An adult is a person who makes their own decisions. Yeah. Oh, yeah. An adult is a person who makes their own decisions for themselves. Now, I know some 5-year-old adults, and I know some 90-year-old children. And children have other people making decisions for them. So you're big people now. You get to choose when you do it, how you do it, why you do it. Psychics, so when I do readings for you guys, we can talk about somebody who isn't there, or not even alive, and we can do, as you probably have experienced, all the information about them. It's because there is no such thing as time and space. There is no such thing as life and death, and there is no such thing as separation. And it's the separation belief that keeps everybody feeling unfulfilled or not centered. Yeah, so take a couple of breaths and then come back. And you know, just let yourself begin to feel part of the room. I'm very blessed that I always get these very wonderful people that come want to hear me rattle on. So it's a very fun room full of very cool people. You're very safe here. Yeah. So we'll do mirroring a little bit first, just to show you how we use our feedback loops. Have any of you ever been with a friend or a couple of friends, and one of the friends saw something they didn't like? Look at that. Like in church, we'll pick church. I like church. And in walks this lady in glittery hot pants, spiked red heels, and blue makeup out to here, and a tube top. You didn't even notice it. And she walked right by you, click, click, click. And your friend said, "I can't believe this. This is blasphemy. Somebody should put that woman in jail. Jezebel," or I don't know all my Christian terms, whatever she is. And so they have all this, and this passion and this anger comes up. You didn't even see it. The friend next to her goes, "Wow, she looks so beautiful." Everybody has different impressions. Well, does it really matter who this lady is or what she's doing? She really is just a reflection for each one of us. The person who has either a value, power, or safety issue, which I'll talk about in a moment, whatever her issue is sitting next to us, went off on it, and this person reminded her of her issue. It had nothing to do with who this person is, how she looks. It's a clear mirror. Maybe when she was younger, if she didn't dress just right, she didn't get to be loved on. Or maybe if things were out of order, she got beat up. Or if she didn't wear the right clothes, nobody would play with her, nobody would love her because she didn't fit in. Whatever, let's say that trigger over there reminded her of an issue that if I'm not just right, dressed just right, or my ducks aren't in a row, if I don't look the way I believe I should look, I'm not a good person. I'm either unsafe, I have no power, I have no value, or a degree of lack in that. And so she's got all this rage, but the rage is about all the stuff going on inside. It's a mirror. The person who didn't even see it, we get to be that person today. We get to be the healthy person. The person who didn't see it didn't need to see it, didn't need to have feedback, didn't need to have all that. It can go right by you and brush into you, and you won't notice it. You won't notice it. And the person who just sat there and thought how beautiful she was seeing a mirror just really appreciated her own. This person may be beautiful. It's irrelevant. The person, it takes one to know one. Didn't we know that at a really early age? Or I'm rubber and you're glue? We got talked out of it. Kids really know how it all works, how mirroring works. It's all about us. Don't try to give it to me. Right? Oh, they gave me a really cute little story and I lost it. It'll come back. So the bottom line in all this is to really, as you look around this room or as you pay attention to me, if you think I'm cool, guess what? If you think I'm a jerk, guess what? No. I take that back. It doesn't mean that you're a jerk. It means I might be reminding you of an issue. He is so arrogant. How dare he do that? And if you were brought up in a family where if you were mouthy and said what you had to say, that your truth was, when people go around speaking the truth, it might make you a little bit nervous. It might upset you. Not because of what they're saying, but because you might get hurt. Or you might get shamed. And you have no idea that tape's running. And we keep projecting it out over and over again. And the system says, you know, blame it on them. It's us or them. And we have to realize it's always us. Jesus told you guys, if any of you heard this, judge not lest you be judged. Some really wonderful person, most likely a man, I have to admit to this, most likely a man said, if you judge, you're bad. That's a judgment. We broke our own rules. If we were adults and we were there and going, hey, you're lying to us, that's a judgment. You can't judge. You just said we can't. Or we're bad people. You're a bad person. But we're all taught to keep silent, be seen and not heard and all that. Nobody questioned it. And so we started off on this really, or continued on this wonderful journey of I'm safe or I'm not, or you're good or you're bad, and us and them and we and they, instead of judge not lest you be judged. If you judge, you're judging yourself. I don't think they could have translated it any clearer. And that's what this mirroring part's all about in separation. Know that you are in the center of this universe, and everything you see around you, like that movie theater at Disneyland, 365 degrees is the center of your reality. If you are not self-centered or selfish, if you are out sane instead of insane and paying attention, you're missing it all. You're busy spending all your energy trying to get into the right clothes, eat the right foods, exercise the right way, bring your kids up the right way, drive the right car, have the right income, and all. And believe me, I work with people who have millions and billions, and they're not happy. Money doesn't fix it. Nor does having children fix it or all these things. You fix it by loving yourself. You fix it by coming to your center. And so today, we're just going to make a lot of different illusions about how to stop projecting in a way that doesn't serve you, and to project in a way that is conscious. It's all, every time I talk, every month, for those of you who continue coming, it'll always be about paying attention and getting conscious. That's the bottom line. You're all psychic, you're all gifted, and you're all very amazing people, and you can do just about anything you want. Well, you can do anything you want as soon as you put your mind to it. What stops us from putting our mind to it is our personal power, our safety issues, and our value issues. We keep running headlong into those. You've heard this before, haven't you? Hang on a sec, they're giving me a couple things to say. One of the things I want to tell you also is to, I want you to really hold your power. I can get really charming and charismatic, and I'm a Gemini with Mercury in my house of communication, so for those of you who understand what that means, I can sell ice cubes to Eskimos in the dead of winter. And I can sell them other things in the summer. So I want you to really understand that what I'm saying is just my reality and my truth, and everybody's truth's different, so pick and choose what you like, and be comfortable with discomfort here with me, because if you're going to learn something new, if we keep in our comfort zones, and you came to me just to revalidate yourself and get proof that you're a cool person, you came to the wrong place. I'm hoping that we get to do that, because it does take one to know one, so if you guys think you're cool, I must be also, and vice versa. But I really want to say things that at times upset you. Not that I upset you, that you choose to get upset because maybe it reminds you of an issue. And you're in a safe place, and we'll do it lightly so that you can process it. But please feel free to argue with me, because there is no such thing as right and wrong or good or bad. And I just know my way works for me, and I don't expect anyone else to do my way. You can take bits and pieces, and I'll take them from you. So thank goodness all you guys came to the room, because I get to pay attention to all these big toes, so I'm getting lots of information. You know, I shouldn't even charge you. It's a crime, isn't it? I get all this information, and you paid me for it. So those of you who have heard me ask this before, and this is a really wonderful thing that my Annie here taught me, is to pay attention to this very important thing about separation and centering and self-centeredness. And the question goes like this: why is it you can have anything that you want? Anybody who already doesn't know the answer, want to take a guess? All the answers will be right, and you don't have to. I'll give you the answer in a minute. Because you deserve it is possibly one. Because you worked very hard. Because you're a good person. Maybe because you're a bad person. Maybe because you stole it or you took it. Anyway, you want to get what you want is totally fine, but the real core reason to why it is you can have anything you want is your God. And I'm loved. This is going to be good. Any church people here want to argue with me about God? I'm not talking about God in the way we were taught to think about God, so that we're going against dogma or the church. It's real important to understand that you are the center of your universe. You are the creator. But I like using the word God because it really pisses people off. I'm not going to soften it for you. Like, some people are really judgmental, like to use the word discerning. Be judgmental. Remember, judge not lest you be judged. The more you judge, as long as you do it consciously and you know you're simply judging yourself and you're doing your homework, the quicker you get to grow. For those of you who were told you were bad people if you judge, they told you to stop learning about yourself, and you did. Or you feel guilty when you learn about yourself. Judgment's a very cool tool. You guys won't know where you fit in height, width, depth, and space without it. Not a single person would be in this room vibrating in this frequency if they didn't have judgment. You wouldn't know where you were. You wouldn't be able to identify yourself here. Does all that make sense? What do I want to say? I've got so many things. Before we move on to that, the God part. It's real important to understand that I'm not talking about God as a church figure. I'm talking about you as the creator of your reality. And our society, or the planet's been full of these really interesting things that shame you anytime you act in your own best interest, or punish you when you act in your own best interest. And so if we get shamed thinking we're the coolest person in the class, heaven help us if we think we're God. So what I'm coming from as a premise today, which I believe is very important to get, is that you are God. And so I would like very much for everybody, or some individual first, does anybody want to tell me why it is you can have anything that you want? Yeah, that's it. That's it. Good girl. You guys all got it. Every answer is correct. Because you deserved it, because you took it, whatever. God's in charge. You guys are big people. Even the little people can be big people. There's a couple big people in here that are pretty young. They're their own people. I want you guys to really get that you're God, and to know when you're watching me, I'm not separate from you. And so all the things that you're enjoying that you see, or all the information you're getting that you enjoy, take in. The things that you don't, you're your own God in charge of your own universe. Do not give your power away to me, okay? I want you all to know that I believe, how does it work? We're like alarm clocks. And today I'm going to be an alarm clock for you guys, and I'm going to say my reality and my truth, and it may upset a few people because it's contrary to their safety zones. But if you guys are here because you really want to get bigger, or you want to get connected, or you want to feel more fulfilled or more inspired. And so what we're chatting about today is stuff in general. I usually, when I'm doing groups, are pretty soft. When it's individuals, when I'm a bad guy. So we're softening it today, but the whole idea is to get to your center and recognize you're the center of your universe and let your shame issues come up and be comfortable with them. You're in a safe spot, and if you have anger, process it with me. It's very easy. And if you get frightened, say something. It's okay to be afraid. We've been taught to be afraid here and use it to stop us. And fear, by the way, is not real. What is that acronym, false evidence appearing real? Fear is an anticipatory energy of what might come. Nothing's happened yet. It ain't broke. You can't fix it. Only thing we've been taught to fix fear is that we go and buy something more, or we get a better therapist, or we have a bigger house, or a faster car, or a bigger bank account. Those of you who went and got those things, and there's quite a few in this room, didn't fix it. Didn't fix it. Fear simply is a warning for you that you're not in the moment. Get back in the moment. Get present. I know you heard me say this last month, but I will say that one a lot, because what we're going to do is, as I say some things, you might start wanting to piece it together to different stuff, and when you leave this moment, it'll freak you out. That doesn't always make sense. How is it that I can just live month to month? How is it I can get out there and just trust that the universe will take care of everything, and I don't have to do stock portfolios, and I don't have to... Well, no, there's no guarantees. What you believe is and what you create is. So for some people, you can go and say, I don't need this and that, and every month it flows in. There's a few of you in here that it always arrives just in time for. And there's some of you that know it won't arrive just in time for, because you chose for it to be that way. You can change it by getting to your center and being selfish and self-centered, and get, and which another word for that is be God. So all this time, all these bad words, and we think God's such a wonderful person, and we said he's such a bad person. He's selfish and self-centered. God made all of us. We made all of us for our own pleasure. That seems like a pretty selfish person to me. God's in charge of everything, created everything. It seems pretty self-centered. So I want you all to get that, to really play with your judgments about God and about separation, and recognize you're all interconnected. Come back to the middle. And so as I do my alarm clock stuff, when we get woken up, or when we pay attention to different things, we hate our alarm clock. 6 a.m., I'm not very happy with it. At 9 a.m., we're actually awake, and it's okay. We do it one more time, like another lifetime. Every day, everything's that micro-macro. It's a lifetime. So please, if there's anything I say that you want to question, or anybody'd like to go into more depth, please do. I like to just touch superficially, and I'm watching the room, and anytime I see I can go in a direction that the mass group seems to agree with, I will. But please don't be afraid to speak up. Yes. Yes. You asked me about judgment and how some people address Hitler or things like that. There's a couple different ways to judge. There's one way where you say good and bad person, right or wrong event. And if you do that, you get caught up in third dimension, and you get in this karmic cycle, if people want to call it that, or you create these energy patterns out and back based on your projecting energy towards other people. What the kind of judgment we're going to talk about is a quality of judgment where you look at Hitler and you go, well, I saw Hitler, and I have this information. I have some issues about it. What does that mean about me? What does that mean about me versus what does that mean... That's simply a mirror. So as soon as we get the information, actually what we get to do is dismiss Hitler. We say, thank you very much, Hitler, for everybody telling me about you and all this stuff. And now I'm going to see what I feel about it and go inside and process it. Does that make sense? So that's the style of judgment. I would like everybody to leave this room really feeling comfortable with being the most judgmental person you know, taking great pride in it instead of shame. but not the most judgmental as in demeans or ridicules or isolates or good, bad, or indifferent, but a person who goes out there in consciousness going, wow, if I don't like the way that person looks, I just got to tell myself the truth. I don't have to go tell them. It's none of their business. What we feel about everyone else is none of their business, and what they think about us is none of our business. Unless we want to make it our business, and then why we made it our business is our business, not what they thought about us. God, that actually came out clear. You guys got... I barely understood that. So in the world of mirroring, it's real important to get back to that center. We've been pulled out of that center, so we're looking at everything kind of obtusely, and we don't see where we relate in it. And so we're part of this big mix, and we don't recognize we're creating that mix. Okay, so how many of you have heard me chat about this, the three core issues before, about power, value, and safety? Now there's two, three, four. Would you guys let me chat a few minutes about it? Okay. Thank you very much. So there is a core belief system in effect here. There's something beyond the body, and maybe even beyond spirit, depends on how we pay attention to it. It's a core beingness. I've in my mind's eye, it's where the ethers first interface. Thank you. Perfect. Where the ethers first interface with matter, where you're not quite a body yet and you're not ethers. It's that moment in time or that glitch of space where things are coming together. And in my mind's eye, it's millions of globules of little golden white lights. And some people might even want to go more towards what they believe their soul to be. That's some of that interface that's caught between both worlds. It's a personal identity, and it's not quite ethers, but it certainly isn't a third-dimensional body. Your higher self, your core being, your core cellular system, whatever you guys might want to identify that, I'm trying to get across that moment in interface is where a short-order chef exists. And that short-order chef is where we put all of our belief systems. And so if we tell that belief system to burn two eggs and toast, all we have in our reality is burnt two eggs and toast till we change the order. And the guy isn't going to go, hey, Gladys, are you really sure you want two eggs and toast burnt? The chef's job is to cook it when ordered. The body's job, the perceptual system of the skin and the emotions and the kinesthesia and the senses and the brain, that's all mighty important brain, they're all just governors, they're all just perceptual systems, destined to be the feedback systems for our core belief. What we believe at the core gets thrown up to the outside, or the inside, depending on how you look at it, comes to this texture, and this texture gives feedback. If you believe you're only 80% valuable at the core level, if that's your order, then everything you see outside of yourself is going to validate 24 hours a day that you're only 80% valuable or 20% unvaluable, no matter what you do. Is this making sense? You could buy the world's best things and be the most nicest person and go travel to India and give everything away. And you could, it's like pulling weeds. You can pull that weed out, but it's going to sprout out here if you don't get to the roots. So part of the problem with getting to the roots is if we believe in judgment as in blaming everyone else instead of using it as a tool. And if we don't believe that we're centered, or if we, and the bigger way to say centered is that you're God. It's real important to get that you're God. Let me show you how important God is, so maybe this will help some, because God's no big deal, okay? It's just a little drop in the bucket. Let's say all of us became CEOs of General Motors today. Heaven help us if we did, but let's say we did. Lee got out, or he's a smart man. He knew what he was doing. So we look back in our career, and we go, wow, I had to do mail room and this and that and engineering school, and here I am, president of GM. And you look back, and you go, phew, that was a journey. Then you take that ever-famous breath we do the minute we finish something we thought was a goal, and then you look forward and you go, but there's still so much more to do. Always. In everything. That's even if you finish a sandcastle at 3 years old in the sandbox. You don't have to be GM. Anything you do, the minute you assess where you are in time and space, the minute you look back, take that breath, and look forward, you're back in the middle again. Which is your center, by the way. The minute you stay conscious enough to assess where you are forwards and backwards, you're always in the center. What it's all about, getting centered, is to stay conscious and pay attention to all the parts. I'll get to you in a sec. And if in fact the minute you make that assessment you're always in the center, and so it's totally up to you to make the assessment to get to your center, your job is to get conscious and start paying attention 24 hours a day as to where you're fitting and recognize you're in the middle. That's what about getting to your center is. So don't be in a hurry to get to where you always were in the first place. Okay. Imagine you became fully God conscious today. Okay, here we go. Wow. Look at all those lifetimes and all that karma and all that whatever we want to create or blame things on. And we finally figured it out, and here we are. It's really nice to be God, if in fact God takes a breath. I'm not quite sure. The breath of life, maybe? Whew. Uh-oh. There's still a lot more to do. You think God's the end product, and when you get to be God, you run into this big black wall, and it's game over, or as my friend would say. You got another thing coming. You've been shamed into believing that how dare I say I'm God as though God was this big thing. It's just one more center. You can instantly come to your center and be God again. And then the minute you do, there's more to do. It never ends. Never ends. So it's not to exhaust you. The thing is, once you get conscious and you do it in great joy, you won't want it to end. Okay? Even though at times, I wish it would end. I wish it would end a couple days ago. So the idea is to start paying attention and get to our centers and stay conscious and use judgment, which we'll talk about in a minute, as a tool for ourselves. But recognize that you are God. At this point in time, the biggest thing we've all been promised, besides becoming big people, is to get to be God. Have you noticed it's a big trick that you're promised that once you get to leave the house and once you become a big person, you're free? Isn't that a lie? Because you're following the same disempowering patterns you learned when you were younger. Once we get out, we're not brave enough to be free. It's like that first week when somebody leaves home, I'm going to buy booze, and I'm going to drive fast, and I'm going to sleep with anybody I want. And that gets old in a couple of weeks. That's the thing about being God. The minute you get to be God and think you're 21, you're going to go, oh, great, I'm God. I'm going to create 6 new realities. I'm going to do this. And then after a couple of weeks, you're going, well, is that all there is? That's when you get to go that way and move forward. Your question. You did perfect. I get to do, you asked me about how the different ways are to concentrate on that percentage. I'm going to do an aura color commercial. When I look at individuals, there are many different ways we choose to process here. You have a lot of green around you, and greens are the mental people. They want everything and want it yesterday. And they like to be in control. You have a yellow sitting next to you. Yellows are the big kids on the planet who hate to be told what to do and usually do the opposite of what they're told. He has other things aside. I'm just paraphrasing. But and there's a bunch of yellows in this room, yellows came on the planet to bring joy here. There are these children that just, when they have joy, it heals and it brings lightness, and they always look younger than they are, and they always want to go play. The downside to yellows is they get into addictions because they try to numb themselves because everybody tells them they're not real until they act like an adult. The greens are on the planet to lead by delegating authority and telling people what to do. I know what to do, do it. If you don't want to do it, get out of my house. Sound familiar? As an indigo, I came on the planet to teach people how to manipulate perceptions and space and matter, and how to become conscious of the fact that it's real easy to do, not hard to do, how to become interconnected. Violets, and there's a lot of you guys in the room too, violets came here to teach people about autonomy, about being a mediator, a person who comes from a healthy center and brings harmony to everything and balance. And they're the great teachers, and we're in the violet era right now, so Clinton and Gore, violets and Gorbachev, Yeltsin, Martin Luther King, Oprah Winfrey. Violets are here to bring a mediative sort of energy that's more spiritual than mental. George Bush had green, and Ross Perot had green. So Ross Perot, he did his green thing. Okay, folks, I got a plan that's going to save America, and here it is, and if you don't do this, drop dead. But Ross Perot's a very healthy green. He's a very cool person. He just punched a lot of people's dad's buttons. He's a very wonderful man. Clinton and Gore, because they tend to be more violet, and violets are more emotional than mental, all the greens and tans said, oh my God, we have fruitcakes running the country. They have no logic. They have no mental. Where's George? Who happens to be a tan with green, and tans are the ones that like to go one step at a time. Step one, two, three, you can stop me anytime, four, five, six. Since there aren't many tans in the room, most of you lose patience with me. Hands like to, are the computer people and the accountants and the engineers and the financial managers. They love steps and stages. And blues, there's a lot of blue in the room, and blues love to love and nurture. Blues' job is to love everybody unconditionally and then learn to love themselves. So usually they do the victim martyr part first, giving all their power away. Sound familiar? And then eventually we get so mad, what is that, I get so mad I have to tell you how I really feel, or we get so mad and tired we actually listen to how we really feel or how exhausted we are and take care of ourselves. So the answer to your question about how to process that percentage is different for everybody. So I'm going to, in my world, and now bear in mind this is my reality, and when I look at you guys, I'm either the world's luckiest guesser or we're doing okay here. But each one will process differently. Blues and violets and indigos are emotionally processing people, so they need to do it through tears or through feelings or exposure or experience. Yellows and oranges and reds, who are these real physical beings, they need to do it through their physical body. When a yellow's upset, they need to move their body. They go surfing, or they go running, or they do movement or dancing and just energy. All little kids have yellow until they physically stop growing. So if you look at a person with yellow, they're really a 7-year-old, okay, in a big body. That's why we have to watch out for what an adult is or a child is, because yellows are never going to be an adult in the way people try to define it. And for those yellows like Bruce and stuff who go around trying to pretend you're an adult yellow, it kills you. It kills you to act like an adult. You're really here to have fun and joy and creativity and curiosity and sensitivity. And when a green solves a problem, they make lists and check things off, and they, right? Stop me if I guess wrong. They make lists and check things off. They get as much data as they can so they can make the decision, and then anyone who comes around them, they say, hey, this is the decision. I did the homework. So don't waste your time. I read the state. The greens want the best of everything and want it yesterday. So for you, and so I'm hoping I touched most everybody in the room with some flavor. Violet. Oh. So these life energies I'm chatting with you about briefly as I do a little commercial. Is these energies are permanent filters through you, so you can have the experience you came here to have through your own set of rose-colored glasses. Okay, am I standing where everybody can see me? And so those will stay the same, but you can add on any of the other energies, and many people do. There's a lot of people in this room who have added on mental energy so they can survive their family and the school system, and they're total ditzes and flakes, each and every one of you. That's why you come to see me. So you can get permission to be a kid. You can survive out there, and you can have everything you want and not have to do it the hard way, unless you're designed to do it the hard way. Then it's really the easy way. Mental people, if you're not a mental person and you try it mentally, if you add on that energy, it exhausts you. Yet mental people, if they try to do it emotionally, it exhausts them. So it works all different ways. So you can add on other energies. But the price is, if you don't really pay attention to your true beingness you came here to do, it's what makes us all different. So we all can look at that lady in the hot pants and all have a different experience for different directions. I have my own thing I'd be looking at. And so I'll get to you, Annie. And so we just are here to have different experiences, and if we keep judging each other for how we do our experience and don't end this separation, we're not going to get it. So even though when I talk about aura colors on the occasion that I'll throw them out for people, it's not to isolate you and make you separate. If you believe it makes you separate, it's because you don't recognize you're all interconnected. You all make a rainbow. You all make white light as far as I'm concerned, and you're all part of a whole. And the cool part about a rainbow is you can line it out and take some of the different colors. And today I might really like purple. And tomorrow I might really like green. And no, this doesn't follow the chakra system. Green is the heart energy in the chakra system. And in the way I see things, green is the most powerful mental energy on the planet. Brilliant people. Brilliant leaders. Okay, so Annie, what did you have to say? So you asked me how to handle emotions if you're a yellow or exhaustion when you're a yellow and blue. Well, everybody seems to have put into perspective different limitations so that they can eventually step forward and be the most truest selves they can be. And so the exhaustion, whenever I see that, I have great joy. I hate it when I have it at the same time I'm having great joy in it. Because that saying, you finally made me so mad I have to tell you how I really feel. Well, I'm making myself so tired I have to be the real me. I have no energy to pretend anymore. I have to be the real me. So if you look around the planet, there's a lot of exhaustion right now. And it's usually in the Epstein-Barr area, it's people who are trying to add on mental energy when they're not supposed to. Or, I mean, you can. I mean, there's no such thing as should or suppose. When it isn't their true self and they're giving their power away, or you give your energy away, and it exhausts you. And we're really here to, our bodies just talk to us. Any form of dis-ease is just talking to your body. There are four ways on the planet. Did I talk last time about the four ways you have your truth heard? I'll reiterate it if I haven't. There are four ways to have your truth be heard. And the first way is absolutely just tell your truth. This is who I am. This is the way it is. Like it or leave it. Now, usually if you tell your absolute truth, what happens? You're selfish, self-centered. You go, thank you. I'm a truth, the way, the truth, and the light, right? To get to the light, you tell the truth. And if you're truthful, you're God. And if you're God, you're self-centered and selfish. So the minute you tell the truth and act like God, what do they say to you? You selfish and sensitive, tactless person, can't you think of us? Or what's that saying? Don't do it your way, do it our way. Don't be selfish. Well, wait a minute. Isn't that a selfish request on your part? But that's a whole nother, that's a whole nother way to look at it, isn't it? Selfish or otherish, do it for us or do it for them. Okay, we're really being asked, in level one, telling your truth. For the majority of people on the planet, they get abused or shamed or beaten or isolated or alienated, and they choose not to tell their absolute truth. So we go into level two. We create dramas or crises to get our truth to be heard. If that doesn't work, we go, I'll give you some examples. We go into stage three, which is dis-ease. Many people do dis-ease almost immediately, and I'll show you why. Stage four is pending death or death. Tell your truth, drama or crisis, dis-ease and pending death. And you can look at where you are in your lives in regards to this, and it's always about telling your truth. So let's pick on a little kid today. I don't want to go to school. You have to go to school. Well, also, it's really cool. As kids, we know a lot of really wonderful things. What's the most universal, best answer to anything? 'Cause or why, right? What are you doing that? 'Cause? I mean, doesn't that explain everything? Yeah. It's like, if anybody really wants to know an explanation, the only reason they want to know more often than not is so they can try to change your mind. And you can't argue with 'cause. It works good. Those of you who have kids and have tried found out it doesn't work. So tell your absolute, I don't want to go to school. You have to go to school. And usually we get told we have to go to school, not because it'll bring you great joy and you'll just have a wonderful time in school. So it's because if you don't go to school, you'll be an ignorant bum and you'll be starving like the people in the Depression. And what are you going to fall back on if you break your legs? And, oh, well, school sounds really like a useful tool and really wonderful. I'm going to, this whole fear-based projection. And so, of course, so kids still don't want to go to school, but they'd rather go to school than have broken legs and then all this stuff, you know. So, okay, so I'll go to school. But if they're, after they catch on to that school really isn't fun no matter what you say, they go from, I don't want to go to school, to, I don't want to go to school, I don't want to go to school, or the dog ate my homework, or I'm going to beat up on sister, I'm going to be in trouble, confine me to my room for a week, please. So, take my wife, please. Confine me to my room for a week, please. And so and the parents go, well, get out of here. In fact, you're going to school just so, that's what I pay the teachers for, so they can live with you. So that drama and crisis doesn't often get us to stay home. It usually gets us out faster. So stage three is dis-ease. We're taught that if we do dis-ease, we get to stay home. What's the magic number of a temperature? Everybody knows what it is for themselves. There's a magic number in everybody's brain. If I have 102 or 103, mine's 104. If I have 104, I don't have to do anything I don't want to do. I can make my...